Iraq's new transitional legislature holds its first meeting tomorrow. The body's 275 members, who were elected January 30th, will take their oaths of office in Baghdad's heavily guarded green zone. After that, they'll select the country's president and two vice presidents. But as the legislature prepares to get down to business, Iraq's two main political groups are still trying to reach an agreement on the new government. NPR's Anthony Kuhn has the story from Baghdad.
Nearly 2 weeks ago, Shiite and Kurdish negotiators both set out their demands and concerns in separate documents. Based on those, they've been trying to fashion an agreed program for the new government. Adnan Ali al-Khadimi is Deputy Chief of Staff for Interim Vice President Ibrahim al-Jafri, who is the leading candidate for Prime Minister. He says that Shiite negotiators have made progress in dispelling the Kurds' fears about their intentions.
Within these 10 days, they managed to draft a memorandum of understanding on principal things. And with this memorandum, we managed to remove many obstacles and to assure the side of the Kurds of the vision of we have about how we to govern during this transitional period.
Shiite politicians have said they're confident that they can finalize and sign the document in a matter of days, even if the parliament must convene first. Khadimi says that the memorandum would lay out the principles for the new coalition government to observe. One of the foremost principles, he says, is that Iraq's new rulers should put their partisan interests aside.
It's just in the principle that the minister has to remember that he's a minister of Iraq rather than he's minister of this party or that party, and he worked too hard for the best of Iraq.
Like last year's transfer of sovereignty to Iraq and this year's January 30th elections, the opening of parliament may give some Iraqis hope that their country's political process is moving forward. But independent politician and analyst Ghassan Al-Attiyah says that these events are superficial compared to the deeper divisions in Iraq. He points out that the same handful of politicians have gone from the U.S.-appointed governing council to the interim and now transitional governments. He says they derive their power more from their ties to ayatollahs and warlords than from the support of the Iraqi people.
And now the same dozen people are in control of the parliament. And what sort of parliament it is? It is actually by blocks. So actually, the parliament will be definitely irrelevant. But what is really relevant is how to get the leaders of those 12 names, which were dominant from the beginning, to work together.
Attiyah says that the Shiite and Kurdish blocs have little incentive to compromise on the big issues, such as federalism and the role of religion. Each side can muster veto power in parliament, they each have their own militias, and they exert more control over much of the country than the central government.
For all purpose and intent, Iraq is a broken glass. But I have to recall what Colin Powell said, if you break it, you own it.
U.S. government officials have indicated that they will be pushing both sides to compromise. If they refuse, Attiyah says, the hard-fought milestones, such as the elections and the parliament, could easily be washed away in the ensuing strife. Security across Baghdad was stepped up today to prevent violence from marring parliament's opening. Still, a car bomber managed to kill one American soldier and wound six near Baghdad's airport road. And at least five Iraqis, both security forces and civilians, were killed in attacks around the capital. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Baghdad.